fed up the anti-white system. The Judas to Radio Area.
This meeting, well, welcome you all as fellow racial nationalists, not just nationalists, because of the big difference, to this meeting today, organised by White Voice, put on by Eddie Morrison, with some help from Heritage and Destiny. Hello. I have an agenda in here, and each speaker will have roughly 20 minutes, but first of all, let's have 1 minute silence, not just for our founder, John Tyndall, but for Robert Ferguson, who died tragically just 2 weeks ago after a meeting down in London. Anybody knows anything about Robert Ferguson? He was into Holocaust revisionism. He's one of those great guys who denied it in the verbal word as well as the written word. He's a man who believed in it, been through all most of his life. Violently attacked by the far left, ignored by the mass media, but he survived. He died at the age of 94, was it?
89.
89. Almost 90. You know, what a wonderful age. You know. And there was another guy called Gaston Armand Roux that you wrote about, Peter. Now, I know nothing about the Gaston Armand Roux. It's a new name to me. But perhaps you would enlighten us briefly.
Gaston Armand Roux was one of the first people to attempt to rebuild European consciousness after the Second World War through what became the organisation New European Order, and most importantly, to build connections between nationalists in different European countries who all face a common struggle in defence of our identity, especially and increasingly as the years rolled by after 1945, when mass immigration became such a threat, when globalised economies became such a threat, etc. And Gaston Armand Roux was still fighting the good fight right up until very, very shortly before his death, having started in that good fight very soon after 1945.
So he fought the good fight. Man. So let's have 60 seconds of silence,
also,
please.
Keith, also for the fallen soldiers of the First World War.
We must have that. It's all going to be included in this 1 minute silence. Yes, to honour the fallen of all world wars, one and two, of all sides, fellow white men and women. 60 seconds start now. Thank you very much. Okay. Our first speaker is a young lady called Judy Lake, who was at one time a Southwest organiser of the BNP. Up until recently she'd been with the National Front, but I think for whatever reason she is no longer with them. But come up and say a few words, Judy.
I shall.
Thank you.
Blimey.
Climb the stairway to heaven.
Shall we sit or stand?
You can sit or stand.
Well, thank you so much for asking me. Yes. Just a bit. These were my notes I did for it this morning. I always want to thank my driver, Ray, for driving me all this way and back again. He's such a safe driver. He's the only one I can fall asleep with in the car. Well, not with. but thanks, Ray, and Janet, who's come all the way from Bristol to give me a bit of support. Some of you may have met her at the Southwest Forum. anything to honour John Tyndall. It's a great honour for me to be here and be asked to speak, and somewhat of a surprise, really, given my last speech about polar bears. And nobody got it. Nobody got... Well, all I can say is when the 2021 population census comes out, the link between the extinction of polar bears and the white British man in Dagenham will all fall into place. So for some comparisons today, I remember when, the end of 2015, when 1.3 million migrants poured into Germany, thanks to Merkel, normal sane people would say to me, what a silly mistake she made. Well, people like Angela Merkel don't make silly mistakes. And I wonder if I was the only one looking at those boats. We all did it. Where's the children? Where's the elderly? Where's the women? All these virile, young, single Muslim men. And it reminded me, I always think, why do people not pay attention to history? And it put me straight in mind of the Cuban boat lift in 1980. And in America, President Jimmy Carter in 1980, he managed to make some ground with Fidel Castro after the CIA basically embarrassed the life out of themselves trying to assassinate him and nothing worked. And they agreed that any Americans in Cuba could return from the Mariel Harbour in Cuba to the nearest point in Florida. And it was a good agreement that those in exile could go back to America and be reunited with their families. Only at the last minute, Fidel Castro announced, any of you Cubans who want to clear off to America, go, go. And these boats just kept filling up. And at first, when the boats were landing in Florida, there was the old Americans with their American accents and their fair skin. And then the crazies started arriving because Castro got wise and emptied all his prisons. He rounded up all his prostitutes, all the disabled, all the drug addicts, and stuck them, rumoured, at gunpoint in these boats and waved them off to Florida. And this Mariel boat lift, it began in April 1980, and by October, Jimmy Carter had to put a stop to it. There was 125,000 Cubans had sailed into Florida. And within about a month, the crime rate in Florida rose by 80%, while Castro was reporting a decline in crime. And he had basically filled these boats up with all these crazy drug addicts and criminals. And law enforcement in America, they rounded up most of the crazies, but the prisons were so stuffed full, they even had to build forts to put these Cubans in. And the effect of that is still happening today. And it makes me think, the Cuban population in America today is 1.3 to 1.4 million. Now, if that's come from 125,000 immigrants, what are we going to be looking at in 10 years when 1.3 million North African immigrants that have come through Germany are going to be doing in Europe? And we can't say Angela Merkel's made a mistake. This is stage two of the Kalergi plan. Obviously, we all know that. So what has the Mariel boat lift got to do with Britain? Well, my favourite MP, David Lammy of Tottenham Hale. Yes, if you take just a small section of that man's constituency, and anybody who follows him on Twitter will know what I mean about this man. And if you don't, please follow him on Twitter. You'll have the biggest laugh you've had in your life. Now, his constituency, Tottenham Hale is part of it. And in August alone, just August this year, there were 86 violent offences. In the year 2017 to August 2018, he had a 24% increase in violent and violent sexual assaults. Now, in 2017, general election, we saw an extra 10 non-white MPs elected. The population of Tottenham Hale, will you have a guess, what is the white British in Tottenham Hale? 18%. And this is why they cannot get David Lammy out. This is why his vote count goes up time and time again. When you've got white British at 18% and you have 24% increases in violent crime on the previous year, with an MP who has opposed Section 60, who plays the race card every time one of his people get their collar felt, if these MPs keep getting elected, then one day we're all going to wake up and we're going to find the balance of power has shifted. And instead of having a majority of white British MPs in Wester, it's going to be a majority of David Lammy's and Diane Abbott's and Sadiq Khan's. And when that balance of power shifts, if my family come running to me complaining, they can get lost. But seriously, when that balance power shifts, it's too late. It is absolutely too late. It is not wrong to say these black MPs like David Lammy have a serious problem about race. We see it every day on Twitter. And if they take the balance of power, do you think the British interests are going to be represented in Westminster? I don't think so. But the problem we have, we can thank, I suppose, Tommy Robinson, Jada France and Paul Golding for alerting the country to the problems with the child grooming and Islamification. But really what it's done, it's taken our eye off the ball. Because while everyone's focused on Muslims and Islam, we still have thousands of North Africans, Somalians, Nigerians, etc., etc., piling into our country, and our eyes have been taken off the ball. Tottenham Hale is one small area where the constituency numbers in population have grown on average 3,000 every couple of years. And another reason, they just keep getting re-elected. So if those populations keep growing and growing, we are not going to be able to get out these white racist MPs like David Lammy. So somehow we have to stop the immigration. We have to stop this influx of North African migrants. And the only way to do that is to get ourselves elected. Now, I know that there's a lot of arguments that we don't stand a chance in the elections. And a lot of that is true. We know we're going to be smeared. We know tomfoolery around the ballot box. But what we can do is affect the Labour vote. If we can't stand in the elections and win, let's at least do them some damage. Let's cost them some votes out there by standing up to people like David Lammy. Let's find some people brave enough to go and stand in Tottenham Hale and tell those people exactly why he's still got a job. So if we can't win, let's at least damage Labour. Because the only other option, 10 years from now, that balance of power flips. And we have got less Indigenous British MPs in Westminster than we have ethnic. And when that day comes, I'm on a boat to Russia, if I'm still alive. But it's not, we should not give up. We shouldn't look at this and say the whole problem is too big, we can't defeat them, we can't do anything about it, because we can. And Ray and Janet here they will back me up. I cost the Labour candidate in Bristol 6% of Labour's core vote, didn't I? And just to tell you briefly what happened there, some rotten bugger, the week before we went to the polls, only went through her Facebook and Twitter account and found the most abusive tweets she'd made and sent them all off to the Bristol Evening Post. Mm-hmm. Well, the rotten bugger who did that probably thought nothing would come of it. So when we got headlines, Bristol Labour candidate exposed as abusive internet troll, it was bye-bye Labour, and Tory boy walked out with a landslide. It cost me £500 to stand in that election, but it was the best money I ever spent, and we kept part of Bristol Tory, which is better than nothing. So we can do something. If we can't win in the elections, just at least go and cause some trouble, because I don't want to wake up one morning and find David Lammy Shadow Secretary, Secretary of State. I don't want to see Diane Abbott, Foreign Affairs. The woman can't remember when she last went to the bathroom, let alone run the flaming country. But we mustn't give up. Well, we mustn't be defeated. And I just want to say before I go, because I'm taking up other people's time, isn't it fantastic that we're all here? Really? Because if this was one of those Derek Norton Christmas programmes where they look back on the year, they'd be saying, well, they've thrown us in prison, they've smeared us, they've put me on some ridiculous dispatch. Apparently, I associate with some of the most dangerous neo-Nazis in the country. That's all of you. That's every one of you. And They've thrown everything at us. They've thrown us in prison. They've smeared us. Even my local police put my house on a marker because they feared that documentary put me in harm's way. We've had it all thrown at us and we're still here. So we mustn't give up. I believe when that census comes out in 2021, the population census, it's going to frighten the life out of people, because it's been, what, 8-9 years now since the 2011, and that's when the truth is going to hit the people of Britain. But it will be too late, because they're all sitting on their backsides waiting for some miracle. So if they won't do it, we have to. So please don't give up, guys. Just keep plodding away, and whatever they throw at us, we'll take it and we'll carry on. All right.
Thank you very much.
Tuned in to